Today, I'd like to talk to you about Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving isn't something that we normally practice, but it is a good thing. Not all good things come from America. Some are good, some are not so good. The celebration of Thanksgiving is very good. Not so good ones like, I won't talk about it. But celebration of Thanksgiving is very good. They celebrate that on November 26th, and it's harvest time for the farming community. Thanksgiving may not come from America at all, because I believe it has a Bible root. Sometimes it's called peace offering, but the peace offering is sometimes called thanksgiving offering. Isn't that amazing? Now, if you look your Bibles up to Leviticus 7:12, and mine is a King James, New King James Version, 7:12. All right. If he offers a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes for blended flour mixed with oil. Now, so there is such thing as a thanksgiving offering, and it sounds good, boys and girls. Cakes and wafers, and the new the Good News Bible calls it a biscuit. So it sounds very yummy, doesn't it? Now, it's an expression of our gratitude to God. Psalm 100 talks about it, and Tony just read it to us, but I like to recap what it actually says. We should come to church with a joyful noise. We sing. We serve the Lord with gladness. So don't say, "Oh, drads, it's church again." No, you should say, "Yippee, it's church time. And I'm so glad we can come to church." And you enter the gates with thanksgiving and with his courts with praise. And the song we just sang, "Praise Him, Praise Him," that's a very, very important one. Be thankful. And praise God for His mercy and His truth. Now, how often do we thank God for His wonderful truth? You say, "Well, if I didn't know the Bible well, and if I didn't believe the Bible, I'll probably be 24 hours too late worshiping God tomorrow rather than today." Isn't that right? Aren't you glad that you worship God on the same day that Jesus worshipped and all the disciples worshipped? Isn't that good? So we can sing praises to God for that. Now, how do we celebrate Thanksgiving? I mean the festival of Thanksgiving. Now, this is what Mrs. White says. Give to God's needy ones. So if you find someone who is in desperate need, you give a gift. That's your way of thanking God for that. Another one is make an offering to your best friend. Acknowledge his bounties. Show your gratitude for his favors. And bring a thank offering to God. Does God need our money? Not really. But why do we give him money then? Well, it is not really a bad thing to give to God that as an expression of our thanks to him. Okay? Eat a plain meal. Now, my part is, that's an insertion from John Chan, Spare the Turkey. All right. Now, share the feast with those in need. That's from the Adventist Home, 475. What are we grateful for? Are you thankful for something in particular? Let's have a look. We should be thankful for creation. We wouldn't be here unless God has created all things. And from time to time, I get beautiful pictures sent from friends and relatives showing the beauties of nature that we can thank God for. Okay, we can praise him for food and shelter. Now, did you know Australia is the most livable country in the world? I live in Melbourne, and Melbourne's supposed to be the most livable city in the world. But we still have our problems. Policemen, hospitals, cemeteries, funeral directors. So it's not perfect. It's not heaven. But it's pretty good. Isn't that right? Pretty good. We praise God for his provisions. None of us need to go hungry. And God has given us lots of things. And we thank God for our family, children, our children. We thank God for our children. I can see some children, but they're not here. Yes. And I just love children. And we have two children, boy in Sydney, a girl at Ballarat, and we have five grandchildren, and we love them all. And last December, my wife and I celebrated 50 years of marriage. Isn't that good? And 50 years of happy marriage is absolutely wonderful. But the amazing thing is, I got a card from Tony Abbott. I got a card from the Premier of the state and the Queen's representative. What do you call him? Governor General. Yep, I got all that from... That was good. What happened is someone said, oh, if you're celebrating your 50th wedding anniversary, you should let the local member know. And I said, okay. And it wasn't expected, but I was getting a card, and we've kept these things. I think it's marvelous. Personally signed by Tony Abbott. Isn't that good? Well, he's still Prime Minister. I don't know about next week or the week after. Anyway, we praise God for truth. Is that good? Yep. We praise God for the Bible. That's wonderful. And I read that every day. I read that every day. And we thank God for Sabbath. We thank God that Jesus is coming back again. That's marvelous. And we thank God for our church family. You know, if you didn't have friends in this church, someone says if you didn't have friends, good friends, full friends in this church, you probably wouldn't come back again. And so the friends represent your fellowship. Isn't that good? You've got good friends and they love you and they pray for you. Thank God for the Bible too. It was the Bible that actually changed me from being a Buddhist to being a Christian, and later on from being a Christian to being a Christian minister. And I just want to thank God because it is His word to me. It's His personal love letter to me. And it is the bread of life. If you ate only one meal a week, you get very skinny. And after a while, you probably die. One meal a week is not enough. So what you do is read the Bible every day. We call it our daily bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it is, you know, when the queen was crowned as Queen of England, they presented to her a Bible. And they called it the most precious possession on earth. Now, do we still regard that as the most precious possession on earth? The unerring guide for the believer? The precious Bible. At the coronation of Queen Elizabeth, she was given a Bible, and on it was the inscription. And these are actual words. Where did I get that? I'll tell you later. Her Most Excellent Majesty Queen Elizabeth, patron of the British and Foreign Bible Society, from the Queen's Coronation Service at the presentation of the Bible. These words, our gracious Queen, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Most valuable thing. Here is wisdom. Here is royal law. These are the living oracles of God. Now, how did I get that? When I was naturalized, by the way, I was natural before I was naturalized, but I was naturalized just to be sure that they recognize I'm natural. Okay? That was stuck on the front of that book. So I'm an Aussie. Huh? In Chinese disguise. Don't forget the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Don't forget the Lord. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. 10 to 14. 8, 10 to 14. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. And we have been told we live in the lucky country. Well, it's not so much luck as God's blessings. Okay. We live in this country. You know, out in the, we went to Europe, in France, mind you, at the elevator that goes up this Eiffel Tower thing, there's a great big sign that says, "Beware of pickpockets." Now, lots of people pay lots of money to go there, but you better hang on to your wallet. Just in case. Aren't you glad that in Australia, at least we don't have to hang on to our pockets all the time? Verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiplied, your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. When your heart is lifted up, you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Lest we forget. This is what they say when they talk about the soldiers who die for our country. Lest we forget. Jesus died for us. Jesus died for us, and we should never, ever forget God. Moses pleaded with his people. He said, when you move to this beautiful land, land flowing with milk and honey, when you build your luxurious houses, when you feast on good food, don't ever forget the Lord. Don't forget His commandments. This is what Moses said. Now, if this world has only 100 people, you say, where on earth did you get that? All you have to do is to type in on your computer, Global Village of 100. 100 people. And what about the 100 people? Well, first of all, this is just to make it simple for us to understand. Okay, 80 of them would live in substandard housing, below standard. Many of them in cardboard cartons or in thatch roof houses that rain would drip through. Rats would dwell in there. 16 wouldn't be able to read or write. 50 of them would be real skinny because they haven't had enough good food. One person would be dying because he hasn't got enough food to eat. And 24 of them, that's a quarter, will not have electricity. And those who have electricity, 75% of them would only use it for lighting in the evenings. So a quarter of them have no electricity at all. And one would be dying of HIV disease. Five of them has the wealth, 30% of the wealth, 32%. And you can be sure I'm not one of the five, okay? We just don't have that. Five of them would have the wealth, one-third of the entire world's money. 48, that's a nearly half of them, live on $2 a day. And 20 of them live on $1 a day. That's pretty rough. Are you thankful you live on more than $2 a day? Now, last of all, and not the least, we want to thank God for Jesus. Are you thankful for Jesus? We're very thankful for Jesus. You know, I keep thinking about two people at Bali. They are living from day to day wondering when they would be shot and killed. They've been sentenced to death for 9-something years, almost 10 years. Aren't you glad someone says, I will die for these people here at Hamilton, so they don't have to die? Are you thankful for that? Are you really thankful that Jesus has taken your place. He has lived a sinless life. Are you thankful that Jesus has taught us to be loving and kind, to be forgiving? Are you thankful that he died on the cross? It's an awful death to redeem us, and he's coming back. That is all part of what we believe. Now, boys and girls, you better look really hard. Jesus said, I want you to go and tell the whole world about this good news. And he blessed them. He said goodbye to them. Now you're looking really hard. And then he went up as if he was a balloon. Straight up. And the angel said, what are you looking about? This same Jesus is coming back in the same way. Real soon. Now, what is the greatest text in the Bible? Someone please tell me, if there's one verse in the Bible that represents the gospel message. Who was it? John 3. Is that what you said too? You said that. Oh, okay. Would you like to have a present? There you go. There's a music CD for you. There you go. Now, John 3:16 represents the entire gospel news. It's only short. Why is it the greatest of Bible text? I'll tell you. We'll analyze it one word at a time. For God, the greatest giver. So love, the greatest motive. The world, the greatest number. That he gave, the greatest act. His only begotten Son, the greatest gift. That whosoever, the greatest inclusiveness. That's anybody. Does that include you? Sure it does. Does it include Joe Blow down the street? Yes, it does. It includes everybody. Okay. Believeth. But Joe Blow has to believe. That's the greatest simplicity. All you have to do is to believe on him, the greatest person. Should not perish. The greatest deliverance. But the greatest difference, have the greatest assurance, everlasting, the greatest duration, life, the greatest possession. You like that? I heard it many years ago. I didn't write it down, but it glued in my brain for a long, long time. I can still remember it must be 45 years ago. I heard it in Hong Kong, and I've never, ever forgotten it. Isn't that good? I love that. All right, it's time for your testimony. Now, we have precisely 25 minutes. If you like to tell how God has answered your prayers, how God has blessed you, how God has healed you, how God has helped you to forget your testimony. I mean, your accident. You could have been killed in a motor car accident. Now is the time for you to share your story. Would someone like to do that? Who would be first? I'll tell you what, while you're thinking, can I tell you something? I'll tell you one little. It only happened. Thank you. It only happened a week ago. I bought myself a real fancy camera, and I forgot to bring it. It's a 3D camera. when you look at the screen, you take a photo, you look at the screen, you swear it is in three-dimensional image. And I had lost it. I couldn't find it anywhere, and I looked and looked. That was in December. I couldn't find it anywhere. And I said to my wife, "Darling, I'm sure it's in the house. Maybe it's in the car." So I searched the car and I crawled on my hands and knees, looked under the seats, no 3D camera. Looked in the garage, no 3D camera. Looked everywhere. For 3-4 months, I looked, couldn't find it. And finally, I think it was last Thursday or something like that, I said, "Lord, will you please help me find my camera? I know it's such a little thing, and God is very busy, and I didn't want to bother him with a small thing like finding a camera." And I just opened the photographic cupboard. I've got a cupboard, video camera, slides, photos, other cameras, and right there, facing my nose, was the camera. And I have searched that place, and Yvonne, my wife, has searched that many times. And within less than 10 seconds, it was in my hands. That's amazing. That is amazing. Another time, I couldn't find my keys to my car, and I had to go out. And I said, "Look, I can't believe this." So I knelt down by the bed, and I said, "Lord, help me find it." And there, right on the bedspread, were my keys. Now, I have no idea how it works, but the keys were there. Now, it's your turn. Will you please tell how God has answered your prayers? Here we go. Okay. Tony would like to say something. Tony.
All right.
Stand up. Okay, I'll do this one. Nice and loud.
All right. Maybe 20 years ago, anyway, I asked God to give me a wife that loved God and that would do whatever he wanted her to do. And he gave me Fanny. So obviously this is a continual blessing to me to have a wife that has that sort of a spirit. So thank you to the Lord, and thank you Fanny, I guess. Because obviously, you know, I have two children now, which Fanny does an excellent job with. So, and I also thank God for his continual leading in my life, actually.
Amen.
Because before I went to Taiwan, I didn't learn a language, and I had no interest in learning languages. But, you know, I have, God's blessed me with the ability to learn at least one other language, and that's Chinese. So,
amen.
That's what I'd like to say.
Thank you. Well, you know, when I first met Yvonne, I had no idea of her background, but her grandparents were missionaries in China, and her mom was born in China, and so she is like an honorary member of the Chinese society. And I really believe my marriage to Yvonne was arranged marriage. God arranged us together. We get on real well together. Okay, you want to share how God has answered you, saved you from accidents? Come on, your turn now. Yes, here we go. Lynette. Nice and loud.
Well, 2014 was a bad year for me. Second half of it. Probably some of you know that 5 years ago, I had a brain tumor. It was removed, or most of it. And things have been going really well until this year, when they found that the tumor has, the rest of the tumor was remaining, has started to grow again. And so I had to spend 3 weeks in Melbourne for treatment, and I'm really grateful to God that He helped me through this, and grateful to many friends who've supported me at this time. And a couple of weeks after I came home, I had another experience in Hamilton Hospital, because I came down with a kidney stone. I tell you, for anybody who's ever had one, don't have one. It's very, very painful. Again, I'm very grateful to God and to the doctors here who have helped me through. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, a brain tumor is not something to joke about. It must be something really, really bad.
Late last year, I had a very, very near miss in my life. At home, one day. There was a storm in Hamilton in the early part of December. A very violent storm. Windstorm and rain. And I was down putting the garbage bin out at my plant, my place. And my next door neighbour has three big roost trees, about 60 foot tall, right next to my fence. Right next to my fence. You've heard the adage that people die under trees, with tree branches cracking. I was about the distance between here and that door up there, away from the tree, when all of a sudden I heard an almighty crack. An almighty crack in the windstorm, and one of the roost trees had snapped off halfway down. Now imagine, this is 60 foot tall. So it's taller than this. And I'm standing just inside the gate. I was lucky enough to move backwards. But if I had stayed in the position where I was standing when that tree came down, it would have gone straight through me and hit me. We're past the chance standing now. Just like that. What caused that tree to break off? We never know. But when we looked at the inside of the spine of that tree, it was hollow. It was white ant eaten. I was a very lucky person that day. I was spared. The Lord must want me for something. I haven't quite worked out what yet, but I'm still working on that one. The Lord wants me here. Wants me to be around still. But I am very lucky to be able to say I'm standing here today because I was able to move quickly.
Amen.
But I take a look at that example and I look at my own life. Am I like the inside of that tree, hollow? Is my inside hollow like the inside of that tree? Or do I have some fixture inside of me through what you've been talking about here this morning with the love of God and John 3:16? That I've got something inside of me that's stronger than any broken tree, and I'll be able to, with the blessing help of God, be able to continue in this area. It was a wake-up call, but we have to be ready for anything. This was totally unexpected. You never know. It can Amen. Strike you like that. Great. Amen. Thank you.
Great. Oh, hi, everybody. My name's Will. I'd just like to really appreciate this opportunity to just to put forth a big thank you to the family here. But it was great that Mickey was here today too, because Mickey and I were good friends. But we went to school together at Dunkeld Consolidated School, and I remember Mickey saying years and years ago, when I used to stay up with his mum and dad and with the family there, that he'd always talk to me about the Sabbath. And so as we grew up and sort of went our own separate ways, I never really thought much else more about it. And anyway, I went through Melbourne. I became a Christian before I left for Melbourne. I became a Christian, but things like the Ten Commandments weren't really sort of taught in the circles that I went through, in being a Christian and stuff like that. And so, as the years went by, I was YouTubing, on the internet and come across a fellow by the name of Doug Batchelor. And so anyway, I sort of had to listen to what he had to say, and I didn't know he was an Adventist at that stage. And so anyway, I thought to myself, oh no, he makes a lot of sense, and he's very calm and collected, and he knows what he's talking about, and he's got some good points, and how his teaching style was with the questions and answers and stuff. And anyway, I started really thinking about, you know, without the law, there's no knowledge of sin. And so I started realizing, why is it that I do forget to remember that fourth commandment? Why is it that I do forget? Why isn't it really taught that, you know, the most important commandment there, that we should honour God on his rest day, and he wants us to have that rest with him as well? And so anyway, I just wanted to say thanks, Mickey, for planting that seed to me way back then, and that God has hidden his word in my heart, and I won't forget what his word says. And that now I just really would ask that you would pray for me, that because I go to the Hamilton Baps, and it's a truth, a lot of truth I've found since even listening to the radio station now and on 88.0. I really, really loathe it when I can't get that station, or if it goes down or something like that, and I'm really fretting. I'm thinking, oh man, I like me, you know, David Ashwick and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, you know, the state of the dead and you know, the Sabbath truth, of course, the health message and all that sort of stuff, I've really taken to heart, and there's no way I'd go back, to that. But just please pray for me as I'm in that situation to really witness, that there would be a light just going into those areas, because we don't, as the large majority of the Christians are, we're not taught the Ten Commandments and the laws and why they are still relevant for today, even more so now. And once again, just thanks everybody. Yep.
Thank you. That's wonderful, isn't it? How God has guided people so that they can. They can be blessed, and you found the truth, stick with Jesus, okay? Doctor.
I think that's wonderful to hear the words from Will, and I'd like to thank God, because our church has undergone a sort of transformation. We have seen people coming into our church even without us going out and doing things. And I think part of it is because of our outreach, and part of it is because we've been praying and we've been working. And I think I have many other things to thank God for. I thank God for my wife, Lynette. We're not quite at the stage of John and Yvonne, but we will have our 40th wedding anniversary next month.
So
thank God for that.
All right. Anyone else? Now, we have 9 minutes according to that clock. Someone else would like to say a few words? Yes, it's kind of nice to know that God has blessed you and you don't mind sharing it.
You know, it's a railway story.
Uh-huh.
It's a railway story, but it has a definite meaning.
Yes.
I'm sitting up the back there thinking of an experience I had way back in 1989. I can remember the day. It was a Sunday. And I was supposed to go on a steam train trip from Sydney to Newcastle and back. But for some reason, which I'll explain in a few minutes, I was stopped from going on that train by a young lady who wanted me to visit her over at Cogra in Sydney's Illawarra area. She wanted me to go over there for the day and spend the day with her and her family and take them to Manly on the boat. On the very day I wanted to go to Newcastle, 3801. The steam train. Now that meant a lot to me, that I was going to give up a day behind a 38 class. Shoveling coal, yes, getting myself dirty and all that stuff and enjoying it. She asked me would I come, and I agreed, and I went. And then we had a nice day in Manly. We went down the Corso, we had the big ice cream. You know the ice cream shops down the Corso, that are the cone,
yeah,
and down this end. And the big ice cream cone that was about that tall, and it was about $4 each, and you had to buy five of them because of that many there. It was lovely. And we went home, and I'd enjoyed the day, very much so. Day was the 5th of May, 1989. I'd missed the trip. I'd been often thinking when I was over in Manly, what are they doing now? Where are they up there? Up in Newcastle having a good time when I'm over here licking an ice cream on Manly Beach. Ugh. But anyway, that's the way it goes, you know. It was the pits for me. Oh, we went home that night, we said goodbye, and I went back into town, because I was living at Strathfield at the time by the station. I had to come back into town and around. As my usual custom is, I always go around Central Station before I go home. That was my second home. My family, if I wanted to get a message to me from Concord, they knew where to find me on Central Station, or around up R6 when the Brisbane Limited was going, the train. They'd get me if anything went wrong. Just come there, you'll find me. I'm around somewhere. When I get back to Central Station, I look up on the board. Special steam train delayed. Oh. Nobody said anything. Nobody said anything. Delayed. How long is it going to be before this steam train comes in? Because you all waited there to see the steam train come in. That was part of the deal. I'll fill it out for you. When I went home, I didn't know, so I went home. When I got home back to Strathfield, I turned the television on, didn't I? And I found out that there had been a train accident on Cowan Bank. And that three people in the rear carriage were killed, died. Two of them were from the University of University of Sydney. They were professors at Sydney University. And they were in the last car. And what had happened was this. For those that know Sydney at all, Cowan Bank, you might know what I'm talking about. The hill from Hawkesbury River to Cowan Bank is one of the steepest in Australia. One in 40 for 13 kilometres. Straight up. No brakes, straight up. It had been raining, and the steam train had stalled because somebody had put the handbrake on one of the cars to make the thing work harder, they found out later. What happened was that a train behind came along, ran through the red signals, hit the rear of that train. And you say, why are you telling us this? Well, there were three people killed in that train that night, in that rear car. Because I was eating an ice cream on Manly Beach and having a nice time with my friend, I was still alive. Guess what? Had I gone to Newcastle that day, I'd have been in that last car with those people coming home on that night. And I'd have been dead, for sure. Coming just out of a tunnel, this accident happened on a curve, and these three people were killed. My life, once again, I've told this story here before, many years ago, my life was spared that night because I was somewhere else, not on that train. Three people died because somebody put a handbrake on a train. And what had happened was this.
I'll be just quickly for a minute. Because there was an electrical current and it was raining and the driver was trying to sand the track, the sand actually made the track circuit fail because of the wet, which cleared the signal. Next one down, and this driver saw the green signals there, and he came up round the corner, straight into the rear of a steam train. Killed him and everything. But I was lucky. God was looking after me that night. He looked after me in a way that was one of my closest shaves in my life I've ever had, that I can look back now and say, God had a hand in that. He had a friend, who wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist, but a good friend of mine, come to Manly and have a day out with us. Sometimes we think we're hard done by. We think things are not going right when they are, or they're going wrong. But the little things in life mean something. The little things in life. The repertoire of that previous story was the man's house that I told about the roost tree. Less than 3 weeks later, we buried him, the next door neighbour that helped me pick that tree up. He'd had an accident. He had a tumour. My next door neighbour. And he went down to the Alfred Hospital to have some tests. The Austin. He came out of the Heidelberg Hospital, running for a train, and he died on the platform. Like that. Now, once again, you never know where you're going to be or what in life has in store for you. Just last week, there was a lady crossing near Southern Cross Station. She ran a red light. She's now no longer with us. Terrible. That we have to believe ourselves, that sometimes we're in our own little environment where we've got headphones on and all this sort of thing, and we can't see or hear the world around us, and we're not aware of what's happening. We have to be so careful in this world today. My motto in life is Jesus first, family second, and everything else after that. But put Jesus on top of the list. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. We believe Jesus is coming back real soon, and we want to thank you for your testimonies, and we will now sing our last hymn. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of life, for our family, for this wonderful truth, for our church friends, and Father, we pray you bless each one of us, that we may follow you to the end. We know the end is not that far away. We pray, Father, that you'll give us the grace to persist, to insist, that we will always obey you and follow you. Father, we pray Jesus will be our friend to the very end, that we will be faithful and will meet in heaven one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.